Yes, welcome on into First Pitch for Wednesday, August 7th, 2024. I'm Lindsey Crosby, baseball writer for Athlon Sports. He's Christian Rau, managing editor of InsideTheCardinals.com. And full slate of games yesterday, Christian, and some really interesting results, interesting things that we saw. Framber Valdez almost was a no-hitter. We're going to get to that in a second. But first, the Atlanta Braves get shut out by the Milwaukee Brewers. It's the second straight shutout loss in a nine-inning game. First time it's happened for Atlanta since 2014, okay? They haven't scored a run in 24 innings. No longer leading the wild card now. Here's my question. Can this version of the Atlanta Braves, with all of these injuries, with all of this underperformance, can they even make the postseason at this point?
Where we're sitting right now, where we're sitting in August. Now, if we would have had the same conversation mid-July, all-star break, I would have said, you know what? It's fine. They'll figure it out. But they haven't figured it out in the last month, Lindsey. And there are multiple teams still in contention in that logjam National League wildcard race. I'm going to say that the concerns are very high. The caution flags are very high right now. They are flying. The wind is waving. I'm nervous about this Braves team. I don't think it's just a title we put on this on the screen. The Braves are in trouble. The offense does not look good. There are a lot of pitching concerns with the injuries. I think it's just an all-around concerning squad right now. Brian Snicker came out in postgame yesterday and said they're so accustomed to being so good, to being an offensive force. And all of a sudden, for whatever reason, it's not happening. I think there's a couple of reasons you can mention right off the bat while it's not happening. Injuries, one of them. There's obviously some issues with your corner outfielders. I know you put out a tweet yesterday about Duvall and someone else being one of the some of the worst people in baseball when it comes to performance at the plate. There's just a lot of issues going on with this Braves team. And I don't even know if you can point a finger at a prime reason. There's just a lot of small things that are becoming just a huge snowball effect that's going to become a problem for this run. Right now, as you mentioned, they are not at the top of the wild card anymore. They're on the verge of being outside the wild card. If they lose one more game and we get another win from the Padres or the Cardinals, they could possibly be outside of the wild card. It's that close. So, yes, they are in trouble. And to answer your question with a one word, can they still make the postseason right now? I'm going to say no. For the first time, I'm going to say no.
Yeah. This is probably the first time I've legitimately had concerns that they were not going to make the postseason, right? For context, that tweet that you're referring to, the two worst MLB hitters entering yesterday's games with more than 300 plate appearances this season. Number two, Adam Duvall, who signed with Atlanta late in spring training. He's batting 185 with an OPS plus of 60. And I'm sorry, he's number two. The number one worst MLB hitter with 300 plate appearances, Eddie Rosario, combined between Washington and Atlanta, 177 average, 52 OPS plus. He has a slugging of 320. It's just, this is kind of emblematic of the issues that they've had. And you touched on almost every single position for Atlanta has dealt with injuries. Matt Olson started every game at first base. Marcelo Ozuna started every game at designated hitter, and he's been hitting. Even his batting average has finally dropped below 300. But every other position, whether it's catcher, third base, shortstop, outfield, whatever, has dealt with somebody getting nicked up and missing some sort of time. Some of them were short. Orlando Arcia missed, I think it was three games with an abscessed tooth. Austin Riley missed like 2 weeks with an oblique issue, never went on the IL. Jared Kelnick in left field missed like three games after coming down awkwardly on a catch on his wrist. But they have not been able to generate the offense. And there's been some things that have been rather confounding that Braves fans are starting to get frustrated about. I think one of the biggest ones is yesterday in that game, Bryce Elder gets blown up again. And since the All-Star break, Bryce Elder has started three games for Atlanta. Chris Sale, the favorite for the Cy Young in the National League, has started two. And the team talked about, yes, we're trying to lessen the workload on these veterans, on these starting pitchers, get them through to the postseason. And I think you're at the point now where you may not be able to afford to skip starts for a Chris Sale, for a Spencer Schwellenbach, because, all right, for a Max Fried after he, now he, that he has the rust off from his absence. You've got to win games. And outside of that first month of the season, Atlanta hasn't been more than a game over 500 in any month this year. And I'm, for the first time now, they're in the third wildcard spot. They have a game and a half lead over the Mets. For the first time, I'm starting to wonder, are they going to make the postseason at all? And I the conversation had been, you've got, I think it's seven matchups against the Phillies, and the winner of those matchups is going to win the division. At this point, I think you need to win that series just to make sure you can stay in playoff contention. And that's obviously a frustrating place for Atlanta to be.
Let's go with this one just a little longer today, because I think this is a topic that's important when you're looking at the entire National League just picture as a whole. You mentioned Bryce Elder. You've already had him for three starts, as you mentioned, since the All-Star break. He did not have a good start on Tuesday. I think we can say that quite well. He did not have a good start. How long is that leash going to be for Elder moving forward? How long should that leash be going forward? Again, I'm going to go mention your Twitters. Go ahead, follow at Crosby Baseball, because if you are not following Lindsay for Braves content, you're doing yourself a disservice. But Lindsay, how long is this leash need to be for Elder? And then I'm going to transition. I'm going to let you answer both these questions here. We talked about the outfield with the woes of Rosario and Duvall. How important is it going to be to get Michael Harris back? Is he actually going to be the impact that they need to get that next push? Or are we just going to throw him right back in the mix and we're in the same spot? Like, is he the X factor?
Taking Michael Harris first, I do think there is a path here to setting up this outfield for a little more success than they've had. Obviously, I mentioned the struggles Duvall has had, the struggles Rosario has had. Jared Kelnick, outside of when he first took over the leadoff spot, Jared Kelnick has not been great in the outfield either, as far as offensively at the plate, etc. And so, yeah, you're in a situation, this is worrisome, right? Now, when you get Michael Harris back, this season he's been slumping, but in his career, he's tended to be close to a 300 hitter. Jorge Soler, although he has not yet produced to what you expect in Atlanta, it's a very small sample size, he can capably hold down right field, and you do have a situation where you can go in the corner and platoon Kelnick and Duvall, right? You've got some of these guys, what is it? I think it's Adam Duvall's batting average against lefties is like 253 with an OPS of mid eights, which is much better than his overall stats. And so you can configure the outfield to get better production. But I think at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter if Matt Olson's not hitting, if you're not getting production from your catchers, if you're not, like, if Ozzie Albies is still out and you can't get anything more than replacement level production out of, say, Whit Merrifield at second. And that's ultimately the issue, is you've had so many injuries that you're relying on the depths of your AAA depth, right? You're fielding half of your roster is guys who you picked up midseason, right? You picked up Whit Merrifield midseason after he was DFA'd. You picked up Eddie Rosario after he was DFA'd. Ramon Laureano was DFA'd. For a while, you had Zach Short at second base. He was DFA'd twice. And at this point, you've got to, the guys who are signed long-term have to start hitting like the back of their baseball cards. And I think that's the only real thing that matters. Swapping out an outfielder here and there is nice on the margins. But if Matt Olson's not hitting, it doesn't matter. If Sean Murphy and Travis d'Arnaud aren't hitting, which they are for the most part right now, but if they're not hitting, it doesn't matter. If you don't get decent production out of the replacement for Ozzie Albies at second base, it doesn't matter. And that's kind of where you are right now. As far as Bryce Elder, listen, I don't know what Atlanta does with him. Okay. The stuff feels like it's better, like a velocity standpoint, the ability to get swings and misses and get strikeouts, extra element of his game. But also, he's made 9 starts in Atlanta this year, and he has exactly 3 quality starts. He also has outings where he gave up 7 runs in less than 4 innings 3 times. And it's, you're at the point where you can't continue to run him out there. You've got to get Max Fried every fifth day. You have to get Chris Sale every fifth day. The combination, I believe, of Fried, Morton, and Sale have started 5 games all year on regular rest. And in the meantime, you've given 9 to Bryce Elder. Almost all of your options in that fifth spot have not worked. You've got to go with these studs because you can't hold them for the postseason anymore. You have to pitch them every fifth day so that you can even make the postseason at this point and then hope that you have enough pitching depth left to make a run when you get to October. But first, you have to get to October. And this is the first time all season when I've legitimately worried you weren't going to get to October.
Yeah, I never thought we were going to have this conversation mid-August about the Atlanta Braves. I never thought. I thought we were going to be talking about how that they're on pace for 100 wins. But it's just not the case right now. There's a lot of issues, and yeah, they got to get this figured out quick if we want to see them in the postseason this year.
Absolutely. Okay, moving on to great pitching performances. We almost saw a no-hitter last night. Framber Valdez taking on for the Houston Astros, taking on the Texas Rangers, goes into the ninth inning. Walks a guy, gets a double play, another walk, and then gets Corey Seager. Throws him a slider, and Framber Valdez doesn't really use the slider a ton. He did get a swing and miss against Corey Seager on it earlier in the game. He tries it again, 2-run home run. They pull him, Josh Hader gets the save. Astros win. No hitter. It's the second time Corey Seager's broken up a no-hitter with 2 outs in the ninth, I believe. So maybe just don't throw to Corey Seager in that situation. I'm not saying explicitly try to walk him, but, you know. So here's my question. With the whole rotation on the injured list, do they have enough starters to make a run and take the AL West? Because if you look at the IL right now, Verlander's on the IL. Christian Javier's on the IL. Like, they have a whole rotation of guys unavailable right now. Framber Valdez, Renaud Blanco, Hunter Brown, Spencer Arrigetti, and a prayer. Can they win the West with that rotation?
And you got Kikuchi, too. Remember, they did grab him. But
they did just get Yusei Kikuchi. Thank you.
When you're speaking of Seager real quick, you are right. That is the second time with 2 outs in the ninth that he has hit or he's broke up a no-hitter. The other one, I got the tweet right here from Sarah Langs. Of course, Sarah Langs always has good stats. 825, 2016 against Matt Moore when former manager Bruce Bochy, or his manager now, Bruce Bochy, was the manager of the Giants. So he's broke him up twice within an 8-year span. I didn't know that one about Seager. That's crazy. But when you look at this Houston Astros, are we surprised? Come on, Lindsay. Are we surprised that they're right back in the AL West standings, half game behind the Seattle Mariners for the lead after what happened at the beginning of this season? I guess I'm not. But I am surprised of how they've got there. And you mentioned with the injuries of the pitching staff, no Justin Verlander, no Christian Javier. There's a lot of issues on that pitching staff, and they're still finding ways to win. Now, they're only 4-6 in their last 10. It's not like they're going off and having complete big winning streaks to get there. They're getting some help from the rest of the division, not succeeding as well. So there's that. You know, but we mentioned this earlier, the Seattle Mariners, remember at the beginning of the All-Star break, their run differential was very low. They're only a plus 22 run differential. Now they're starting to even out. So I guess it's starting to make sense with that division. Mm-hmm. I like the Kikuchi pickup. I thought it was going to be last year's 2023 Lance Lynn at the deadline. So far, it hasn't been the case. So I think once we see more of him, we'll get a better understanding of what we're going to get from Kikuchi moving forward. But to answer your question, I think we're going to see the Houston Astros back in the playoffs. It wouldn't even surprise me if we see them back in the ALCS because we've seen them there so many times, right?
Like four straight years, right?
Eight straight ALCSs.
It's a machine. The big thing here, and my concern is your guys after Framber Valdez holding up. You're 2-3 in your rotation, Renaud Blanco and Hunter Brown, and kind of pulling some of these stats. Sorry for not looking at the screen for anybody on YouTube right now. Pulling some of these stats, Blanco is currently at 124 innings on the season. Last year in the majors, he threw 52. And people who listen to my prospect pod back when I had it know that one of the big things I talk about is your workloads. When you factor in his minor league workload, He threw 73 in the minors last year. So he's at 125 for last season. He's already at that this year. Can he hold up through a postseason run? Question there. Hunter Brown, similar situation. You know, he's currently sitting on 122 innings. He threw 155 last year. You feel a little bit better? He should be able to hold up. Can he still be effective, though? He wore down a lot in the second half last year. It ended up with an ERA over 5 on the season.
I will say about Hunter Brown real quick,
yeah,
that his ERA right now, I think it's a really close to 4, is very inflated at the beginning of the year. Remember, he struggled really bad at the beginning of the season, but he had a great June. His July was about normal. So I think we're going to get the Hunter Brown that we were expecting to have at the beginning of the season in the second half, which is crucial if they're dealing with injuries.
Yeah. I do think one of the big things that's going to matter is how quickly they get Kyle Tucker back. There was he's been out with that calf injury. People don't always give respect to Kyle Tucker like he deserves. OPS of almost 1,000, right? He's one of the better best outfielders in baseball when he's healthy. He's only played 60 games this year. There was an update, I think, from Joe Espada yesterday. They're getting ready to, when they get off the turf and get back to grass, they're going to have him run a little bit, test his calf, see how he's doing. But getting him back, I think, is big. I think if you have him back and some of these guys are hitting, Alex Bregman's hitting, Jose Altuve's hitting, Yordan Alvarez is doing Yordan things. Who's batting 300 right now? He's hitting. But these guys keep doing these things. I feel like you have 3 starters. You have some really good relievers. I mean, Josh Hader, Brian Abreu, Ryan Pressly. You feel like you've got the guys to make a run. It's just a question of if you do that or not.
They're going to do it, man. They're going to do it. It's going to happen.
Talking about making a run, Ellie De La Cruz is having a series against the Miami Marlins. 10 at-bats so far in this series. He's 8-for-10, 2 home runs, 4 doubles. So 6 of his 8 hits for extra bases out of the stolen base. And not only is he hitting, he's absolutely ripping balls. Exit velocities easily well over 100 miles an hour. Here's, I think, the question on Ellie De La Cruz. Should Cincinnati try to extend him similar to what the Royals did with Bobby Witt?
Yes. Yes, they should. They should have done it yesterday, but he's a Scott Boras client, right? So will it happen? Probably not. But they should. They should have did it 2 days ago, Lindsay.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that Ellie De La Cruz is the future of not just the Cincinnati Reds. He's the future of baseball. I've seen people on socials talking about, ever since the Passan interview came out just a few days ago with him, people are showing their praise that, you know, we started talking about the Braves at the beginning of this show. Ellie De La Cruz is becoming your little brother's favorite player, not Ronald Acuna Jr. You know, he's taking that step to becoming one of the stars in the league. And I think that's a great thing. Now, if you're the Cincinnati Reds, you don't even have to look at that part. Just looking at the performance on the field, he needs to be the guy you build around. I don't think that that's a news breaking question. Mm-hmm. You mentioned about his extra base hits. Not only was those hard contact over 100, they were over 108 miles an hour. Every single one of those hits. Jeez. He is killing it with the ball. Here's my point where we get to this, why you should sign a contract extension. And I don't think he's getting enough credit. And I think this is mainly because of the success that we're getting from Shohei Ohtani and some of the other main stars in the National League. He's on pace for 30 home runs, 80 stolen bases, 30-80. If you look at Ronald Acuna Jr. last year, National League MVP, he had a 40-70 season. So about the same ratio, just a little different. He's at a 30-80 pace. And we're not even talking about him to being the National League MVP. Now, I'm not saying he should be the National League MVP because, as we mentioned, Shohei Ohtani, you talked about yesterday's show. He's absurd, but he should at least be in the conversation. And if he's not, then I think we're doing a disservice to the league because what he's doing is incredible. And we haven't seen 80 stolen bases in how long? So, yes, extend him now, extend him yesterday, extend him tomorrow, whatever it needs to be done, extend him. And I think you hand him 10 years, 340, whatever it takes. I think you do that.
Yeah. I think the argument for extending Ellie now comes down to, it's very easy to see how he could get even better. When you look, you look at StatCast, it's a ton of red, but what are the biggest glaring issues probably the only real blue on his stat cast, strikeouts and swing and miss. 32.3% whiff percentage, 8th percentile in baseball. 30.1% strikeout percentage, 7th percentile in baseball. Everything else is red. 100th percentile in sprint speed, range 97th, bat speed 87th percentile, barrel percentage 89th percentile. And so if he improves his swing and miss by 5%, if he improves his strikeout rate by 5%, you're going to see the 268 batting average that he's carrying come a lot closer to 300. And when that happens, and you add in all of those extra batted balls at the exit velocities that he has, at the hard hit rates and the sweet spot and the barrel percentages he has, I think Ellie De La Cruz gets a 40-40 season easily, and it looks like Ronald's season. It looks like a 40-70-40-80 season. And I think my only question about the extension is, does Scott Boras let him do it, and can you get it for cheaper than Bobby Witt's? And it feels like the Bobby Witt extension is probably the floor for an Ellie De La Cruz extension because you work off of prior comps, right? And there's no reason Scott Boras would let them get a discount on this. He has three members of that infield. He has Jonathan India, he has Matt McClain, he has Ellie De La Cruz. I think De La Cruz is the only one you consider the Bobby Witt contract for.
Yeah,
I just question whether or not Boras would actually let him sign it this offseason versus trying to get him through for four more years to get him to free agency, where if he continues growing at the pace that he's grown, you could see him be a $500 million player on a 10-year, on a 12-year long deal at the age of 26.
No, you're right. Now, and you mentioned he's only 22 years old. Strikeouts, yes, that's an issue. There's no doubt about it. You look at his StatCast, you look at his baseball reference, back of his baseball card, whatever you want to do, Lindsay, strikeouts are an issue when it becomes, when you're looking at Ellie De La Cruz. However, if I remember correctly, at the beginning of Aaron Judge's career, strikeouts were a big issue for him too.
Yep.
A very big issue. And we're in a league right now where strikeouts are obviously a problem. You don't want to have an out. You want to put a ball in play, but it's not the worst thing in the world. They would rather you have your A-plus swing every single time up at the plate. If that means you get some strikeouts, so be it. So I think if you're looking at some weaknesses, that's one that can be easily adjusted and one that's not so bad in the eyes of managers, front offices. And I think that's why you need to make that extension now, because in my mind, at 22 years old, the other stuff's going to stay. That one's going to improve. You take advantage of this now if you're Cincinnati.
It's already improved once. Last year, kind of clicking over, 33.7% strikeout rate. So he's already dropped it by over 3.5% year over year. If he does that one more time, you're looking at a guy that is adding 30 points of average and probably 15 points of slugging to what he's already doing, which is just absurd. Okay, quick pitch, a little bit of a longer show today. We just want to talk Braves a little bit longer. A couple things for you. First one, minor league update. Catcher Dalton Rushing for the Los Angeles Dodgers is going to AAA, but here's the thing. He's going to exclusively play left field. One, do you think this is a good idea, and why do we think they're doing this?
Well, I think that there's a lot of issues why they're doing it. One, because they have just signed Will Smith to a large contract extension. I think Dalton Rushing is itching to get to the big leagues. I think he's he's ready to go. However, I think that there's some problems with that outfield. I'm going to let you get to that portion. But you can look at Dalton Rushing's stats. He's only had 5 games in the outfield so far. So it's going to be a risk. But getting that bat into the lineup seems like it could be worth the risk. 269 hitter, 17 home runs, 59 RBIs with an 883 OPS so far this season, a 930 OPS across his minor league career. This guy can hit. He's and having a third catcher, backup catcher on the roster won't hurt, but if you can pop him in a corner infield spot and he's not letting balls go over his head, it can't be that bad. So maybe this is a quick fix, possibly for a September call-up, Lindsay.
Yeah, and to the point of the outfield struggling right now, Teoscar Hernandez, since the All-Star breaks, batting .313. He's killing it. 6 homers. But Andy Pages, .176. James Outman is 1-for-13, .077. Kevin Kiermaier, 3 games, 7 at-bats, no hits yet. They traded away Miguel Vargas. Like, Jason Hayward's batting .222. They just don't have the impact in the outfield. And again, what a wild place to be when you spend $1.6 billion in the offseason and have a million outfielders. But since they're looking at bringing back Mookie Betts, who took infield for an hour and a half yesterday, looking at bringing him back again to second base or shortstop, you have to go find some outfield help. Throw Dalton Rushing in the left, see if it works.
You got Rosario and you got Edmund coming too. So, I mean, you can move Mookie back to the outfield, but I do think that adding one more guy in that mix, Rushing, I think that could be good. I'd like to see his bat in the majors. I think it could translate well.
Yep. Staying in that division, San Diego Padres, with the Braves loss, with what they did yesterday, with their win on Tuesday, they now have the top wild card spot. They are 10 games over 500, which is the best they've been all season. And here's the thing. Since June 19th, their record is 25-12. They have the best record in baseball since June 19th. I talked about them, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, about them having the best bullpen in the game. Obviously, they've been doing this without Fernando Tatis. Do you think they hold on to the top wildcard spot in the National League?
I'm ready to say, Lindsay, that not only do they hold a top wildcard spot, I think that they do a flip. I think we're going to see them win the National League West. On August 7th, look at me doing my thing. Okay. I'll go ahead and say that they can take over the Los Angeles Dodgers and win the National League West. I like what I've seen so far from them. As you mentioned, one of the best teams in baseball in the last month and a half, 8-2 in their last 10. So are the Arizona Diamondbacks, by the way. But the Los Angeles Dodgers, they're slipping a little bit. We've mentioned it could be some outfield help, could be getting Mookie back. Hey, I'm not going to rule out the Dodgers entirely, but I think that the way that the San Diego Padres are doing without Tatis, might I mention, they're going to win the National League West. Let's go ahead. Let's book it now.
There you go. You heard it here first. Okay. The Chicago White Sox win a game. They beat the Oakland A's. They have stopped the losing streak. can we go ahead and agree this is the last time we talk about the White Sox unless they fire their manager?
Is the biggest winner Vargas in this case? Did you see the picture of him when they lost the other day, him just sitting? He was only there for a couple days, and he already looked like, you know, his life was ruined. So
imagine going from the Dodgers to the White Sox.
Yeah, and I think it's safe. I think until Pedro gets fired, which now I think is the best time to do it. He's no longer wearing the losing streak. Like, let him have the embarrassment. Now they finally won a game. All right, let's move on now from you. Okay. You know, if you were going to make history, we should have had his name written on it. But now that they've won a game, now that they're going to get ready to come back after this West Coast trip, I think you finally pulled that trigger and just hire an interim. But yes, I think we can finally be done talking about the 28-88 White Sox in mid-August.
Yeah, there's no reason to discuss them anymore. But on the note of Miguel Vargas leaving the Dodgers to go to the White Sox, this Phillies series has been interesting. One game each. Tonight is the series finale, Phillies versus Dodgers. Who wins?
Oh, man. I liked what I saw with the Phillies yesterday. So on a quick note, I'm going to say Phillies take it.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at this game, it's going to be obviously kind of late. Tyler Phillips versus Gavin Stone at 10:10 Eastern tonight. I'm going to go with the Dodgers as well. I think I went with the Phillies.
You're taking the Dodgers. I went with the Phillies.
So. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm taking the Dodgers in this one. I just think that they realize they feel the heat and the pressure to perform more than the Phillies do. The Phillies have been slumping, but Atlanta's been worse. So I feel like they understand, no, we got to get this done. We got to win this.
Yeah, late one tonight. That's a crazy one. If you're up for the game, stay up with our buddy Troy Brock over on Inside the Phillies. He's always doing some fun stuff there. But yeah, I liked what I saw with the Phillies. I think they're back on the up and up, and that's bad for Braves fans.
Great plug there for Inside the Phillies. Thank you for that. If you are watching on YouTube, do us a favor, like the video, subscribe to the channel. If you're on audio, leave us a 5-star review on the podcast app of your choice. Again, thank you for watching. We will see you tomorrow on First Pitch.